Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. It's the Mike Broomhead Show. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Eyes of the country kind of watching what's happening in the Arizona audit. Is this going to continue? How long does it continue? How long is it going to take? But one of the things that happened was there was a request for some equipment to be turned over. Both the Maricopa County Attorney and the Maricopa County Sheriff said it's going to compromise law enforcement. So to clarify exactly what that means, now joining us is Paul Penzone, the Maricopa County Sheriff. Sheriff, you had said that this is going to be a danger to policing and your mission. How would that be, and what's on these routers that you don't want compromised?
Well, first, thanks for the time, Mike, too. Obviously, a lot of folks are concerned about this, so they have a chance to speak about it. And I'll preface it by saying, you know, I don't pretend to be an expert in IT, but I do have a staff who are. So when they brief me on their concerns and they can articulate why they feel so convicted about the issue, then it's important for me as a leader of this organization to take steps to try to protect the infrastructure of this organization. So if you imagine that, you know, there's the servers and there's the routers. Routers are the freeway system that bring information to the servers where that information is then contained. The reason this is such a threat is because if we were to give the roadmap, which is, you know, the routers, to the infrastructure of our IT system, and put that in the hands of a third party outside the control of this organization, then the opportunity for hackers, knowing now they are at the doorway, they can pull information from IP addresses, and they can ascertain maybe what type of firewall you have, or things to protect yourself from malware. It's as though you're giving someone a map to your home and saying, once you get to the door, you know, this is the type of lock and alarm system they have, so you take it from here if you're a hacker and just figure out how to get past that stage. Every layer of security not only protects the information in this organization, but MCSO is part of we'll call it an ecosystem in the county. Although we have some isolation, we're siloed in a particular way because we're law enforcement, we still interact every day with the courts, with the county attorney's office, with you know, Maricopa County Health. All these different areas, we exchange information through our system, and it is directed by routers, and in the core space, which is, you know, which is controlled by the county. So if you're able to get that equipment, you can then map out how our infrastructure works. And if it's in the hands of the wrong person, they will not only have access, but they can infiltrate into our systems. They can do things to undermine it. They can, you know, manipulate data that exists in their digital data. And they can get information that could be detrimental to law enforcement services. So unequivocally, turning this over is to the detriment of our ability to protect our IT infrastructure. And from my perspective, it has nothing to do with what's going on with this audit. The sheriff's office in no way, shape, or form plays a part in the election system when it relates to counting ballots.
So who was the first to raise the red flag? Was it your IT people? Was it the county attorney's office? Was it other people? Who raised that red flag for you guys?
No, it was our IT folks. They came to me, and it was probably just a few weeks ago, because we were unaware what was listed in that subpoena. It wasn't brought to our attention until the steps were, you know, in initial steps taken to potentially turn over these routers. And that's when my folks were educated on it. And it was, you know, all the IT experts inside the county immediately put the red flags up, saying this is a problem not just for the sheriff's office, but for the county as an entire entity. So once they were aware of it, then they came to me and they briefed me on it. And, you know, as I said, as the head of this organization, we work very hard to be transparent, to make sure that we are meeting the needs of our community. But I also have to protect the information that is specific to our community members. So it's not just law enforcement information that would be at risk. It is anyone who in any way, shape, or form has interacted within the county system in some way and has a digital fingerprint. Your information out there, folks, is what is accessible, as well as the things that we're trying to protect. Now, imagine that we are a part of a larger law enforcement community, which we are, whether it is federal or state. Our system interacts with those agencies also. So once we are no longer sterile and protected, we are now a risk to others, which means that they would, and you know, it would be the wise thing for them to do is to disconnect from being a part of the relationship through IT with our organization, because they don't want to become vulnerable. And you can just take a look at this issue with the pipeline, how hackers were able to get in there and shut that down. Imagine if this information was out there and it has great value in a private sector at a high price, what you can do to the infrastructure of a county entity if it gets into the hands of the wrong person. So here's what I would offer. I know a lot of folks are trying to make this a political issue, and I've been very consistent relative to whether it is any issue that is adverse to law enforcement. I don't care what party it comes from. I stand firm on what is right for law enforcement and for our community. But if we were to flip the script and it was Democrats saying, we want that information, we want access to that equipment, I'm sure the Republican Party would be extremely concerned. So when you hear the information just on a factual basis, remove the partisan aspect of it, does it make sense for anyone to think that in an audit for election ballots, you should have access into law enforcement operations through technology? It's irresponsible. And I just think that the legislators need to be educated on why it's irresponsible so that they can make the right decision.
Maricopa County Sheriff Paul Penzone is joining us. Have you had any conversations with anybody from the audit and explained that to them? And what was their response if you did?
I've had conversations with state senator, with two state senators, and in both cases, it was, you know, they were grateful for the opportunity to learn about why I am concerned. I did not ask them if it changed their opinion, their perspective. I don't believe it's my place to try to lobby them. It is my position to educate them so that they can make sound decisions. So, you know, I'll continue to be available, and I look forward to talking to anyone who wants to have this conversation and beyond me with my IT experts, the ones who truly speak the language, because they're the ones we should be listening to as to why it creates a vulnerability in our system. And if you do that, and I preach this all along, when it comes to legislation, if it involves law enforcement, at least hear from us before you make the decision. Don't drive in my lane without telling me, you know, putting your blinker on, tell me you're coming, because you're going to create a crash, and that's what we're trying to avoid. And right now, it is this elections issue that is driving in the lane of law enforcement, and it is going to lead to a problem, to a crash.
Have you had any conversations with the county board of supervisors, and where do they stand on this?
Yeah, so we had a call last week. You know, it's not for me to speak on their behalf. They have their own voices. I would just tell you it's a mixed bag. And regardless of their position, regardless of, you know, the county attorney's position, I know that she's in agreement with me and has expressed that publicly. I'm going to continue to do what I know to be right for this organization, to protect the men and women who do the job, because they would be exposed, and to protect our community. So I've heard their opinions, and it's, you know, kind of across the board. It's a spectrum. But what I do first and foremost every time is remove any political influences. So if it's coming from the left or coming from the right or coming down the middle, I'm going to get information. I'm going to make my decision predicated on factual data. And then I'm going to do what is my obligation under my oath of office, my commitment to this community, and my commitment to law enforcement. Partisan politics be damned.
Sheriff, as always, I appreciate the time. I wanted to get some clarity, and I knew you'd clear it up and let people decide now based after they've heard what you had to say, let them make their decision on what's right. So I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Mike. I appreciate your time, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, you too. That is Sheriff Paul Penzone, Maricopa County, explaining why it's important for them not to turn over this information. Now, whether or not this ends up in a courtroom, if the auditors want to go into court and see if this subpoena can be enforced and the sheriff's office makes their case, we're going to find that out. But at least now, a little bit more information on both sides of this. Is there a reason why Americans aren't going back to work? We're going to get back to subsidies. And is that stopping people from going back to the workplace? That's happening in just a couple of moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for joining me. It is the Mike Broomhead Show. Let's talk about the economy for a moment. The president was talking about this, and this has been a topic of conversation for so many people. And it's about whether or not people are ready to go back to work. And are refusing to go back to work because they are being paid to not go back to work. And the reason why I say that is the subsidies. And the president of the United States was talking about this. And I want you to hear him say what he believes about the benefits, the higher benefits of unemployment.
I know there's been a lot of discussion since Friday's report, that people are being paid to stay home rather than go to work. Well, we don't see much evidence of that. That is a major factor. We don't see that. Look, it's easy to say the line has been, because of the generous unemployment benefits, that it's a major factor in labor shortages. Americans want to work.
I agree that there are a lot of Americans that want to work, and that there are some that are gaming the system, whether it is the evictions moratorium or whether it is just this issue where they can make enough money to live by staying home. But I will tell you what part of the problem is, and these are the policy ideas that need to change. One of them is there needs to be an end to the subsidies, without a doubt. There is a lot of jobs in America going unfilled. Tampa, Florida, McDonald's paying people $50 just to show up for an interview. Other places are offering signing bonuses. It is a difficult time. I believe it was Culver's. I saw a story about Culver's is closing some of their stores, or at least one of them, because there's not enough people to work inside. So they say that they're only going to open their drive-thru until there's enough people that show up that actually want to work. The service industry is beginning to come back. But there's another element of this that people really haven't considered much. Part of it is the lack of schools being open everywhere. And, you know, I don't want to go down the road of it being a bad thing necessarily. I'm making this an observation. You have parents that are homebound and either living off unemployment or working from home because their kids can't go to school because the schools aren't fully open yet. There's not an option sometimes or a good enough option for some of the parents. So there's a lot of factors here. And as policy shifts, the president of the United States said he was going to have schools open. We don't see them open. We see where the numbers are. Kids are now able to get vaccinated. But these are some of the elements. Again, when you make policy decisions, all of your decisions have consequences, some of them good, some of them bad. And without getting into a partisan political issue, address each one. Is it working? Is it doing the right thing for the American people? Our governor is now making it more difficult to get unemployment benefits. Why? The state of Arizona is open for business. The state of Arizona's economy is doing much better than most of the country. And there's a lot of job openings, which means there's employment available for people. I am someone who believes in the principle of helping someone who cannot help themselves. I think that's a personal responsibility. I also think that as a community, it's a responsibility. And so it's not that we're going to get people that will not work. You know, the old saying, it's not those that will not work shall not eat. It's those that cannot work, or the other way around. Those that cannot work shall not eat. It's those that will not work. There's a difference. We help people that can't. We should support people that cannot care for themselves. It's part of the benevolence of who we are as a country and who we are as a community. But there is a difference between can't and won't. And we've got to make it easier for people to get back to work. We've got to have the schools open. We have to have that schools option. A parent's first responsibility is to their children. And if you've got a parent that says, if I go to work, my child is going to be home all day by themselves. So what I'm going to be able to do is I'm going to have to live off unemployment and do this as long as I can until the school is open completely. That is something that's going on in other parts of the country as well. And the president has to acknowledge that. And there's been a big issue about whether it's the teachers unions and the collusion between them and the CDC and people want it looked at. That's where it gets political. At the end of the day, for families, most of them don't care about the politics of why something is happening. It's a reality. If the schools aren't open and my child isn't in school, I cannot leave them home alone. Period. So there is an element of people that are gaming the system. There always will be. There always will be. It doesn't make food assistant programs bad. It makes the people that abuse them bad and what they've done wrong. So there are people that are abusing this benevolence of the American people, making sure that the unemployment has been raised because of COVID-19. There are always going to be people that take advantage. But there's a lot of policies that need to change where we can get back to some sense of normalcy and give these parents an opportunity to get back to work. There are a lot of parents that want to get back to work. So as a society, there is something to be said about the subsidies going away. That's something that needs to happen. Here in Arizona, I think the governor did the right thing. Because if you're actively looking for a job, there's a pretty good chance you will find it. And if it's not the job you want, you're going to do that job until the right one comes along. That's just kind of the way life is. So we're going to talk about another thing in policing and the reasons behind it. An Arizona sheriff is starting a police network, a subscription-based network. We're going to talk about that coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. It's the Mike Broomhead Show. Tomorrow morning on the show at 9:05, we are going to have Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb join us. Now, the sheriff's been on a few times. Again, Pinal County does not border the southern border, but what it does border is the Tohono O'odham Nation. Now, obviously, it's a sovereign nation being tribal land, and their land borders the southern border of the United States. So there is a place called the Vico Valley, and that is where you see a lot of the traffic come through, and that's why Pinal County deals with a lot of that. And we know that Sheriff Lamb and his agency is where the death of the of Officer Farrar happened, and the injury to another police officer began in Pinal County near Eloy. So he's been a frequent guest on the show. He's also been on national TV back when Live PD was on, which I thought was the best police show I'd ever seen. Cops was really good for so many years, and this kind of took it to a brand new level with that show called Live PD. Well, they've been pulled off the air, and so Sheriff Lamb is starting his own network. He announced yesterday a streaming network featuring sheriffs from across the country. So The funny thing is, in this story, this is from Channel 3 and Channel 5. Who's paying for this, and where is he finding the time to do it? Well, he's doing it in his free time, and he says he's paying for it. And then it's a subscription-based service called American Sheriff. It's going to cost $5 a month or $4.99 a month, featuring sheriff's departments from all over the country. Lamb said after the past year of tenuous police relations, he wants law enforcement to have a voice again. They're going to be able to see ride-along action. They're going to see the real stories of the men and women out there doing the work. They're going to get a chance to see training. It's no surprise to anybody. We've kind of taken a beating in law enforcement over the last couple of years. And what voice we did have, we lost last year. And I completely agree with the sheriff in this regard. You know, I do a segment here in town. There's the station AZTV, Channel 7. And I do a feature with them called Heroes of Arizona. And we started off with cops. We talked to a few Phoenix police officers. We talked to a DPS officer, our trooper. I believe he was a captain. And we've talked to a firefighter. We've talked with someone that's coming up soon in the National Guard. And it's not just what people do in their jobs that are heroic, in my opinion, but it's also talking with people about the things they do in the community and giving people a chance to look at who these people are behind the uniform, that when they're not in their uniform, some of the things that they do within their community. And so I think that the aspect of law enforcement being able to have a voice is a great one. And if people want to consume it, again, this is a capitalist society. No one is being forced to watch any of this. And why they pulled those shows off the air, Cops is gone, Live PD is gone. And part of the narrative was it puts law enforcement in a good light, and it can't do that because they're not all good people. And you got to tell the good. Well, it's not a news show. It's not a news show. My guilty pleasure on television is I watch Judge Judy. I just love the way she rips people. And I think she's common sense. But I guarantee you she's gotten some things wrong. I guarantee you that she's been wrong on some issues. I guarantee you she's made some mistakes on the show. Well, why don't they show the mistakes? Why don't they show the other side? Well, because it's her show. It's entertainment. They have a right to put the show on. You want to put a television show and somebody wants to pay for it and you want to show the bad side of policing, there may be people that want to watch it. But there are a lot of people in this community and around the country that feel like that police work is an important job, that the vast majority of officers, deputies, and troopers do their job with respect, and they do it for the right reasons. And those shows, like Cops, ran for how many years did that show run? Because people like to see the inside of that job. There is now new shows on about rescue and about fire departments and the calls that they go to, which I think is another fascinating thing we've never really talked about, is you think that that's a glamorous job to be in a fire truck and to run to these calls. Well, I can tell you that a lot of what they do is very difficult, very dangerous, but very mundane at times. And, you know, I think it's an interesting thing that people want an inside look to. So why shouldn't the sheriff be able to do something different if he wants to? And, you know, I don't know where the criticism is coming from. I don't understand the criticism. I think anyone that wants to kind of show the good side of law enforcement should be able to do it. It's police week. You know, it's police week. This is the week where our nation honors the men and women who serve in law enforcement. And there's no reason why that's not a great thing. There's no reason why we're not looking at the Fallen Officer Memorial in Washington, D.C. and realizing that there are a lot of very, very good men and women who have given their lives. When you go to Washington, D.C. and you go into Arlington to the National Cemetery, it's one of the most moving experiences of my life to go into that cemetery. What's very interesting is they don't have to tell people to be quiet. Because you just naturally are. When you see those white crosses and Stars of David and you see the immense sacrifice from people and what they've done for this country throughout our history, you know, to go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, to go to the Eternal Flame where President Kennedy is laid to rest, to go to the different memorials and see what's there, you're naturally subdued and in awe. I mean, I it's not a place where you hear a lot of screaming and yelling and laughing, and it is a place of respect. And there really is no difference for me when you go to the World War II Memorial, when you go to the Vietnam Memorial, or you go to the Fallen Officers Memorial in D.C. When you go to these places, when you go somewhere and you look at the sacrifice that was made by good men and women, we are moved as a nation to being thankful, to being humbled. And we at some point have got to get back to those voices being able to be heard. What's interesting is it's not on cable TV. You know that Live PD was the biggest show on that network. I think it was A&E was the biggest show on their network by far the most popular show on their network. And yet because of the political fallout, they pulled it off the air. Same with Cops, the 30 plus year run of Cops. It's pulled off the air. At some point, you got to allow those voices back on TV and let the public decide. Because if the public decides they don't like it, they won't watch it. If the ratings are bad, the show goes away. And also advertisers, of course, people are going to threaten to boycott advertisers if you advertise on those shows. If that's an accurate statement, then advertisers won't advertise and the shows go away. But telling people that they can't have a voice or labeling it politically incorrect to me is very, very interesting because I just don't think that it's true. And I'm anxious to see it. I know that Sheriff Lamb he's kind of a larger than life figure, the cowboy hat. He's got a great personality. He's terrific on TV. When he was on Live PD, he did an excellent job as a guest host or part of that, the shows they had on Live PD. So I don't blame the guy one bit. It's not like Cops are getting rich. You know, so I think finding another way to have a career outside of what your career is now is always a good one. And I think anytime you can shed a positive light on law enforcement and give people an inside look of what accurately happens, if you can see the training that sheriff's officers go through throughout the country, it gives people a better idea. I see this as a win-win for everyone. We're going to talk about DACA recipients and in-state tuition because it looks like it's going to the ballot where the voters will decide. That's coming up. Next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. One of the big issues here in Arizona has been the border issue. And one of the big glaring examples of how broken our immigration system is are the Dreamers, the Dream Act, and DACA. And the reason why I say that is because we do have a generation of kids that are grown up now that genuinely are people without a country. They don't know any other country but the U.S. They don't remember their homeland, but they were brought here illegally by their parents. So what do we do with the Dreamers? And what's interesting is we can't figure out how to fix that, and yet we're creating the next generation of Dreamers with what's happening at the border right now. There's no doubt about that, that that's what's going on. And so we are dealing with, and I will tell you my opinion on the Dreamers in a moment, but let's get to the story. I'll give you my opinion of what America is going to end up doing. But here in Arizona, voters will get to decide whether undocumented students that graduate from state high schools, widely known as Dreamers, according to the story, are eligible to pay in-state tuition. So the House of Representatives sent to the 2022 ballot Senate Concurrent Resolution 1044. It would repeal portions of Prop 300, which was passed in 206. again, I'm not, without getting too deep into this, why I don't like our propositional form of government. When something's not right or you want to change something, it can't be done by the legislature necessarily. It's got to be done by the voters once again. And in this case, this is what they're going to do. I will tell you this, that I absolutely am concerned and feel for, my heart goes out to the plight of the Dreamers. They were brought here through no fault of their own. But I also, looking at the big picture of immigration in America and what's happening, I look at this situation and say it's not just about the DACA kids, the Dreamers. This is also about the legal immigrants that came to this country and did it the right way, that waited the amount of time, paid the money, did all their, paid their dues, so to speak, went through the green card process, brought this. Many of them couldn't bring their children with them when they first came. They had to come on their own and then apply to bring their children, which meant they were separated from their families for years and years and years. How do you look at legal immigrants and say to them, illegal immigrants, people that have come to the country illegally, are going to get the exact same thing that your children do? I don't think that's fair either. And I would also go further and say, if you were to stop the parents that came across then illegally and say to them, here's the deal. You can come to America. You can send your children to American schools. But when they go to college, they have to pay out-of-state tuition. I don't think that there's a parent that made that journey that wouldn't sign on the dotted line and say, that's a brilliant idea. That's a great idea. There has to be some sacrifice. There has to be some price that gets paid for coming to this country and not doing it the right way. There has to be. We have a law and order nation. I don't believe we should ever send these kids to another country. I believe they should have a pathway and they should become citizens of this country. I think many of them are the salt of the earth, good people. I talk about legal immigrants to this country, but Dreamers can fall into that because they aren't, they didn't cause the problem. They were brought by their parents. I have families, very, very close family that came from Cuba and brought their children with them. And for them, becoming citizens was only outshined by watching their grandchildren be born first-generation Americans. So the Dreamers' children will go to in-state tuition, will pay in-state tuition for schools. I don't think this is a major sacrifice for the families that qualify. And depending on income status, depending on their grades and scholarships that are available, cost can be offset. But the people, the citizens of Arizona now will decide this on the ballot. I can be empathetic to the plight of the Dreamers. I can say that I believe the Dreamers should be able to have full status in America. They should be able to work. They should be able to contribute to this country. But there has to be a sacrifice made by their families that made the wrong decision. And if somebody wants to say, well, their parents brought them here and the kids shouldn't have to pay the price, you realize that being in this country illegally is still the wrong thing to do. We are sending the wrong message to legal immigrants if we allow illegal immigrants or people that have come here the wrong way, these undocumented migrants, that if we're giving them the exact same life that's being given to the people that did it the right way, it's not the right thing to do. It's not cursing them. It's not telling them to leave the country. It's not marginalizing them. It's saying the sacrifice for the mistake that was made of coming here the wrong way is you'll pay out-of-state tuition if you go to college. That doesn't sound to me like a huge sacrifice in the grand scheme of the lives of the Dreamers. Yes, college is expensive. Yes, so is out-of-state tuition. But in the grand scheme of it, would you rather go back and not come? Would you rather, what needs to be done? But there has to be a price to be paid. When you do the wrong thing, there has to be a price for everyone. And when you give someone the exact same thing that did it wrong to the ones that did it right, it's not fair. It's the least fair thing that we've done in a long time. So there's a way to work this, I think, where it isn't demonizing people, but it's saying there's a price to be paid. So we'll see what the voters say about this. And as far as propositional forms of government go, this is why I don't like them. You've got to go through these hoops to make changes, and it's just not the best way to do things. And hopefully that system will change sooner rather than later. But when this goes, and I could be completely wrong on this. I could be, again, I was wrong on so many other things when it comes to the vote of the people. I just think that there has to be a price that's paid. When you've done something wrong, your family's done something wrong, it may not be your fault, but the price has to be paid. What about the families that did it the right way? I would love to hear from someone. What do you say to those families? What do you say to them? The Arizona Republican Party is making another mistake, in my opinion. We're going to talk about the election, what the courts got involved on the party election, who would lead the party. There were mistakes that were made. What will they do about it? We're going to talk about that coming up because this is something important. So stick around.